The Ministry of Truth, Mini-True in Newspeak, was startlingly different from any other object in sight. It was an enormous pyramidal structure of glittering white concrete, soaring up terrace after terrace, 300 meters into the air. From where Winston stood, it was just possible to read, picked out on its white face in elegant lettering, the three slogans of the party: war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength.
I thought it was bliss.
Not according to the party in 1984.
Not in 1984.
Not in 1984.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Was it bliss?
Hadn't
yet.
Gotten there yet.
You're just an asshole.
Well, we'll get there in the show. But let me cue up the theme music for today.
Oh, I know that.
He knows it. Of course, it's our theme song.
The Fool Scoopers, mostly just some guys. Bunch of thoughts, sit down, settle to enjoy your little voices on Modern Lexicon. The Fool Scoopers, mostly just some guys. The Fool Scoopers, mostly just some guys. The Fool Scoopers.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fool Scoop Podcast. I am your host, Alan Brown. And this is the show where we take on topics of all shapes and sizes in hopes that we bring you a big serving of entertainment, a side of laughter, and a dash of information. This being our 84th episode, we're going to be talking about George Orwell's 1984 and dystopias in the past, present, and future. Here to help me cook up are my cracking up co-hosts.
That's Winston Smith, and I'm Johnny Kelso, but he can't stop laughing.
I'm crying from that opening.
I'm pretty sure we've used it before. Haven't we?
Nope.
No? Really?
Brand new.
Did you send me a demo or something? I feel like I've heard it.
Oh, my God.
Maybe it's been playing in my head forever. I just didn't know.
That's when you know you have a hit, when you feel like you've heard it, but it's new.
I was going to say, when you have your audience streaming in tears. Yes. Yes, I am.
That could be good or bad.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know what? Either way, hey, we're talking ratings. We're talking viewers. We're talking money.
Monies.
Monies, monies, monies.
You fucking Mandela affected me with that.
I think you did it to yourself, really.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, I helped write this. It's a bullshit.
Vault himself.
Had no involvement whatsoever.
I'm pretty sure he had a stash.
He's rewriting history already.
Oh,
yeah. And that's Winston Smith.
Yes, I am Winston Smith. What have we got cooked up today on the Bobby, Alan?
Oh, well, we are going to talk about 1984, whether it's the book or the movie.
Or the year. Let me tell you, in 84.
You're the only one that was live during that year.
Let me tell you, there was so much coke lining the streets. It was like streets of
peppers.
Streets of snow. It was the golden age for coke and capitalism put together.
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
Reaganomics.
So we are going to be focusing on the book, though, because I didn't actually watch the movie. I tried.
You made me feel bad for not watching the movie.
Yeah. Well, as you should. I read the book. I read the book twice. You should feel bad. The book was the minimum. I mean, the movie was the minimum. The book was the actual homework.
I think I
movie
I think
gets
I got
you
the
a
gist.
C. You couldn't even watch the movie.
Hey, the D. The rest of my grades will pick that D up. I can get a D from the synopsis. Okay. I guarantee you I can walk you through that movie right now just by reading the synopsis.
You know what? We do need to explain to the audience what it is. So, yeah, go for it. talk us through. Talk us through what it is.
In a dystopian. No. No, you can have it.
Okay. Well, What our first bullet point is, what is the book? Why should people care, right? Well, it's a fucking awesome book, and it has become part, as you heard actually in our intro, in our new intro, right, as we talk about modern lexicon. Orwellian is a word that's entered our lexicon, and a lot of people don't know where that comes from when we talk about an Orwellian future or a dystopia that is Orwellian.
The Orwellian nightmare.
And this is where some of that comes from. Johnny, you're about the right age to have enjoyed that show, that reality show called Big Brother.
Oh, God.
No,
I wouldn't say enjoyed it.
Yeah, right. I lived through it. I survived it.
Well, you know, yes. Very loose quotations.
I had two of them,
there.
So, yeah.
You know, I remember that being on TV, and I didn't really understand.
You remember it being a thing.
I remember it being a thing, but I don't understand. Like, I didn't understand what they were talking about or why that would even be the name of the show. But I think at this point, I do want to tag in our resident scholar in helping me explain the book.
Yes. Oh, 1984. Oh, I'm sorry.
I got a little confused. Go ahead.
I got this one, Kelso.
It's not science. It's science fiction.
1984 is probably one of the most famous of the dystopian novels out there, along with Brave New World. And it was written by George Orwell in 1949. And it's all about a totalitarian society, you know, that's
much like today.
Much like today, being ruled by the party is led by Big Brother. He's the actual, you know, when you picture like a big looming face over you with a thick mustache, that's Big Brother. You know, yeah. He's symbolic of all of that. And so that's the setting of it, where it's constant surveillance, fear is rampant everywhere, and just constant manipulation of the truth and information.
Our government.
Yeah.
The government, yes.
And I don't know if it was like purposely drawn from this, but I picture Joseph Stalin when they mentioned Big Brother. Like, that's essentially, I think they talk about the mustache, the thick eyebrows. Yeah, it's essentially that.
Cigar.
Right. Right. That's what I picture. So that's who I picture as Big Brother. But the way that ties into the reality show that I was talking about is they literally control almost every aspect of these people's lives, to where they have surveillance inside of their homes, and they're constantly reminded by posters all over the city. Big Brother is watching you.
We have to pay for that.
It's always watching nowadays. You. Well,
they did it for free there in the novel, and it's so totalitarian, like they monitor your thoughts. Like, if you think the wrong thing,
wait,
you're in trouble.
But it's safe as fuck.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I mean, there you go. As long as you're, you know, stay in line.
I'm okay with it.
I mean, as long as you stay in line.
Yeah.
You can continue to eat the mush and drink the gasoline flavored alcohol. And
I do that for free. Have you had Jaeger?
You know what? I want to get this question out of the way before I get on to something that we've already touched on just now. So, Winston, question for you out the bat. Did your parents know they named you after this famous character?
They may.
I think it's a different character.
They may not have been aware of it. I feel they were going for the blandest white bread name you can think of.
Was it? I felt they thought highly of you, and they expected messiahical things to come from you. It might have jumped the gun, though. You know, two more later, they got the one they wanted.
Well, the audience will find out with you, but you clearly didn't read the book. it does not have a great ending. Well, great could be, you know, it's like Voldemort.
He did great things.
Yes.
Bad things, you know, but
they were great.
He did them, greatly.
They yeah. were great. Great is just size.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, yeah. It's the weight of it.
The scope of it.
Yes. So you mentioned, y'all mentioned Winston, you said, no, they did it for free. Then I actually, that's something that stuck out to me when he's speaking, when Winston Smith is talking to the old man. So I'll explain what they Winston use.
Smith, not yes. me.
So this is going to, we'll say our main character, our main character.
Well, I was like, I thought you were fucking around when you read that. I thought you put yourself into it. Oh, it is Winston Smith. I should have watched the movie.
Yeah. So for those that watch the movie, well, it's John Hurt is the character playing it. So yes. Now we'll say great John. So when John, oh wait, we have a Johnny. Fuck. Our main character. Hurt. So, telescreen. So, I wanted to talk about the telescreen, which is what the party uses to watch its citizens. So, people know the cameras and microphones are always on, and they can never be sure when someone is watching at that time. So, it's just like a screen, and they might be called out at any point in time. They use it to broadcast, and they're constantly broadcasting propaganda. But then they also use it to talk to specific people if they need to, I guess, yank the leash, if you want to say that. But something that stuck out to me on one of the most recent reads is that there's an old man character that has a shop. And the man says, and this is a quote from the book, "Ah," said the old man, "I never had one of those things. Too expensive. And I never seemed to feel the need of it somehow." Which means that at some point, people were willingly buying and putting these surveillance systems into their lives.
It sounds like my dad with the smartphone.
Slow.
And I feel both old men made the right choice.
And, oh, okay.
Which is why I thought it was still, like, why this book is still relevant even in today's world. Is because we
have all these Alexas in our homes now. We're already
being monitored. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We know it. That's where like reality is sometimes I feel worse than what's actually going on because like it says, you know, people know there's cameras and microphones. We know we have cameras and microphones on us at all the times. In the book, you know, they were never sure if someone was watching. In reality, we know we're being watched. We know.
No, you know what?
We know we're being monitored. We know we're being tracked.
You'd be surprised how many times I have to explain that to people.
They don't get it.
They're so fucking, they're like, how come every fucking time I talk about like a fucking hamburger or a t-shirt, 5 minutes later it pops up on my phone.
You're being listened to.
Like again, bro? Like,
yeah.
And they're like, what if I wasn't even near my phone? I was like, how many devices do you have in your house? And they're like, oh.
Everything's listening to you.
And then I point them towards, there is an operating system that is, I don't remember if it's based around Linux or Android. It's probably Linux, Linux-based, that has your privacy in mind. It doesn't record. It doesn't do shit. It straight up, you don't got to sign any contracts. The only problem is there's no developers. You're not going to have the apps you want. You can't because they're all integrated with that kind of surveillance in mind and out. Yeah. So you're either completely off the grid, you don't get to play fucking Bejeweled, or you're all in.
There's no halfway.
No.
There really isn't. And I think, you know, one thing is because in the book, you know, or George Orwell, the author, he didn't really consider the idea that it would be the programs themselves monitoring us. Like, you don't need somebody actually sitting there listening in.
Yeah.
Like an operator. We already have that.
They're called algorithms.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Right. We don't. NSA doesn't sit there and fucking listen to 3 billion fucking people.
No.
No, they can't. It's impossible. It's algorithms that mm-hmm. analyze everything so much faster than we ever mm-hmm. could.
And this having been written in 49, you know, they didn't really have computers to even, you know, look at and extrapolate from there where it would go. So that's why
So
in the book, he envisions that there's actually people like listening, you know, they actually have people
that they have to sit in front of that telescreen.
Right.
Yeah. They can flip over.
Let's say behind it, right. Someone's behind it listening, in another room, you know, in the Ministry of Truth or that's probably the ministry that would do it. Right. So there's someone at the ministry listening to everyone, you know, they might have an array, right. In an array of listening devices. But you're right. Like he never envisioned how much worse it would be.
And I'm sure at some point, I mean, that, you know, even to today, I'm sure that that kind of surveillance exists. It still does. Not everybody has the most expensive stuff to do what they need to do.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. His take on it from, what was it, 1949?
Yeah,
49. Wow. So he still had some kind of grasp on technology.
Yeah.
Because, Jesus, his dad was born, what, 50? And not everybody even had a television. Like, he didn't have one. Hmm. He had to run around town to go, you know, look at a TV through somebody's window.
The neighborhood had one television.
They'd turn it around towards the
window.
The window, so people can watch from outside.
Yeah.
And they were already thinking conspiracies? Like, Jesus Christ, what's wrong with us? What is wrong with us?
It's like he's like, I think I know where this is going.
No. Well, in part, it's an observation based on how we've always been and how we were at the time. So, you know, this is something you've mentioned, Kelsey, before, is, you know, humans never change. Like that we go through the same cycles and, you know, it's just there's just going to be a different iteration. But the foresight that Orwell had was obviously that he had very specific ideas for how certain technologies might be misused by a totalitarian. Yeah, implemented, we could say, yeah. And nowadays, I made a note here, just put Big Brother Avatar, because it seems like it's not very clear in the book, at least, because I didn't watch the movie. It's not very clear whether or not Big Brother is actually real or not. He's just been around for decades, and the people... He comes on screen and he talks to people, but
nobody knows who's controlling him.
No one sees him in person. Right. Who's controlling him? And nowadays, my note is that AI can now deepfake someone, and so we do face the reality that.
Oh my God! Did you just make a Big Brother AI deepfake?
Uh huh.
Are you about to unleash it on the world?
And it's Alan. Oops.
Hey. I missed the mustache.
Yeah, it's been like 15 years I haven't worn a mustache. So
you couldn't grow one 15 years ago.
Yeah, that was the only thing I could grow. Oh. I can't grow the sides. It's the only thing I can grow is the mustache. So I grew the fuck out of it. And then I just had the mustache for a while. And I was like, that. At some point, I was like, that doesn't work.
Hey, you just walk up to people, eh?
Oh, but you know what? You're not could.
A police officer from 1974. You don't need a mustache.
Put your hands up. They will.
A mustache demands
somebody
authority.
With a mustache tells you, hold it right there, sir. You're gonna stop. Put your hands up.
So we have Zoom filters that use AI to, you know, map stuff onto your face. Snapchat kind of started that whole thing. We have AI that can deep fake. Like there's definitely now technology that can fake a character like Big Brother was in the book. So now we have real technology that can actually support that. Support.
I have an idea.
Fictional character. Tell me.
Can we deep fake and gets a fake candidate on the presidential ballot?
Well, you know what? I don't think we're allowed to do that yet.
We don't know. Like, that the thing is, you just have to convince enough people that he's real.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly like
he's going to campaign and be like, "Oh, you know what?
I mean, that's what I'm saying now. Yeah. We're using the technology, and you're connecting the dots there. I'm saying that maybe not us. We need some more social media draw. We need maybe some. Definitely some programming.
Don't have the brains to accomplish this.
Right. But we're the idea men.
I have the vision. And I know it's possible.
Yeah, right. The tools are out there. If the wrong people come together, they could do some damage.
The right people.
Well, we'll see about that. Let's talk about the Ministry of Truth. So there are three ministries, talked about in the intro there. And the Ministry of Truth is involved with news media, entertainment, fine arts, and educational books. So its purpose is to actually rewrite history and change the facts to fit party doctrine or propaganda effect. So when we talked about Big Brother coming on the screen and spewing propaganda, what they're actually doing is anytime that he comes on, he'll say something to the effect of, you know, like he's saying, oh, this month we're going to up the rations of chocolate for everyone from 25 grams to 30 grams. Yeah, and everyone goes crazy. And then what Winston Smith's job, our main character, he has to go and change all of the news articles, all the written articles that mentioned maybe last month, that said that we were actually decreasing the rations from 40 grams to 30 grams. So he goes back, rewrites that to support the new narrative that we actually increased from 25 to 30. So we're still at 30, but the reality is that last month we had 40 and now we have 30. But by selling the story that, no, it was always 25, we're now at 30, so that's good. What? So they're creating fake wins. So
how did they end up with 40 rations?
They never had 40 rations. What are you talking about?
They're under arrest.
What are you talking about? That we never had 40 rations. It's always been 25.
25, yeah.
But I counted them.
Oh.
No. Well,
you would be sent to the Ministry of Love, yes. My friend.
Yes, my friend.
Simply for thinking.
For even thinking that you might have had 40 at one point.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right.
And this is the world that Orwell has built. And I'm thinking how, again, this is going to be like a super dangerous episode, but I don't believe that I'm original in any sense of the word. I'm just brainstorming here and extrapolating from what we already have. In the world of 1984, there are people that work at the Ministry of Truth doing this day in, day out, manually rewriting things and translating the articles and then removing the old articles from existence. That is their job. In today's world, we can do that with computer viruses where people hardly actually get their news from a physical source. They get everything digital. So you could have computer viruses or cyber attacks that go after information and tweak it. Hell, even on Wikipedia, like, it's temporary, but people have faked things on Wikipedia that all of a sudden spread a rumor online that goes viral, and now it's hard to put back in the box.
Wait, so how do you fix that when it's because you know it wasn't there were computers in 1984, so. How did they rewrite the history that way?
They had control over who can
everything,
and they had control over everything. How like what you could buy in terms of newspapers, in terms of books.
But if I already had the paper,
right?
No, they're going to track it down.
And yeah, they have tracking over who bought find everything. You,
and they're like, let's this say is you the have a you book. Meant to have.
Winston Smith's. Dude, Winston,
no, it wasn't even a misprint. It was never printed like that.
Oh,
this never existed.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yes,
right. Right. Yes, sir. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Yeah. There you go. You're
damn right.
See, it's easy.
It jogged my memory.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I see it.
So in the story, our main character's first act of rebellion is he buys a journal with blank pages. That gives you a sense of how much control they had over things. I imagine that no one could have blank paper anywhere. And to have bought a pen and a journal was like, he knew that he had contraband and that he had to hide that somewhere.
Keister.
Up his ass.
Hey, 7 years. I don't know.
Only seven.
so that's part of his job too, to edit the past. And so they had articles that had to be rewritten, and then so they would go and track down all the old copies and they would reprint copies. And then if there were books, they would go and reprint books and take out old books. They would take out words from old books, phrases. They would change narratives if they didn't quite push people into thinking the way they wanted them to think.
Much like today.
Right. And we're going to get to that because there's been a little of that in the news in the past few months.
I mean,
in the past couple of years, actually.
It's not a new idea. We've been doing that for eons.
Right.
As you know, we'll burn entire civilizations' histories to write our own.
Right.
You know, it's not far-fetched. These ideas are not far-fetched, and they're happening today. Anybody else hear anything else about those Miami aliens? That fucking got swept under the rug real quick.
There was no Miami. There were never any Miami.
There were none, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You mean the Cubans? No,
I tried to go through my Google history. It wasn't even there.
It was not there, no.
How they got into the history tab, I don't know. It's gone.
Well, you cycle that out regularly anyways.
No, I save everything. I can go back months.
You'd be the first to go then.
Yeah, no, I don't ever go back that far.
This guy's saving too much.
It, you know, over the weekend, I'm like, forget it.
No, I mean, there's search options.
Yeah.
So it's good to have it there.
But in tying the book to what we got going on today, I actually wrote down some words. I'm trying to remember what I was trying to do here. Oh,
they're
wrote
down flagged and erased.
Yes. I wrote down some words, and these are a mix of words that were in the book that Orwell made up, and then words that we have in reality today. And I just thought how it was just interesting to me how similar they sounded. So we have telescreen, deep fake, speak right, deep mind, double think, Neuralink, newspeak, social credit score.
Are we supposed to pick out the ones that are real and the ones that are from the book?
Well, I think it's going to be a little too easy for you because some of these are tech related, but take a shot. Which ones are from the book and which ones are from reality?
Well, you mentioned telescreen
earlier.
So yeah,
that's one book. Given.
Deepfake is from for real. Speak right. I'm going to skip it. Deep mind. I'm going to say book. Double think. Book. Neuralink. Real. Newspeak. Book. Well, you know what? I'll speak right. I'll send it. Also from the book, because I don't know it. I haven't heard of it. Social credit score is true.
Yep. I think you got 100 on that.
Except for applause for our deep mind.
There you go. Except for deep mind, that is real. That's Google's deep mind.
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay. But
what does that do?
What's with all the deep fake, deep mind?
Yeah, I don't know. I only ask questions too.
It's deep psychosis.
I don't have
deep answers. That's the next one.
Google's DeepMind is like AI cloud like next generation thing. They've been working on it for a long time, but then OpenAI came out with their ChatGPT, and so it made Google look like they were behind the curve. But really, what they were doing is they were holding off. They wanted to hone it to a place where it was.
They were waiting for the singularity.
Maybe. Oh, man. Maybe. They were, you know, strongly working to it. And you know what? I don't know if you heard this. Last year, one of their engineers, the head engineer of their AI department, was fired because he wanted to shut down the AI because he said that it was like too dangerous, that he was having conversations with it. Mm-hmm. And like he didn't think
Google,
it
was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, we touched on it.
Yeah, I think so. Scoop. Yeah. So there's that. But yeah, if you hear these words, I mean, you could say some of them are inspired by science fiction, which does happen a lot, but also it's just, for me, it was a little uncanny. It's that just, we have
I feel that so many just things. They missed the point of the science fiction, because a lot of those stories are warning against whatever they're trying reality. To introduce. Right. Wait a minute.
Where's the fiction?
Don't do this.
And you know what just came out like 2 weeks ago, I'm going to say. In the past Aliens. 2 weeks. No, Ready Player One. That makes exactly that same mistake, right? So in Ready Player One, a different book altogether, but we'll touch on it real quick, is that Ready Player One, there's a corporation and the players are trying to win back control over the Oasis from the corporation. Well, the author, real life author of Ready Player One, and the studio that they partnered with, I think it was Warner Brothers, that they partnered with to make the movie, are now partnering with Meta, one of the largest corporations in the world, to make an Oasis.
I'm not buying in.
Yeah. So really missed the point of the book.
They're like, we should fucking make this real.
Yes.
I was like, I don't think it's going to end well. It's like, yeah, but we'll make a lot of money getting there.
Yeah.
You know, we'll let the next CEO worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus. So,
you know what I just saw in Meta? Well, speaking of Meta and virtual reality, which I thought was pretty fucking amazing. So I have this headset. It's the Pico 4. It's Chinese. Okay. Yeah. It's Chinese, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's already in, and they're in all of your technology.
I bought into TikTok. I don't care. Fuck you. Right? It's actually by the same company that made TikTok owns the Pico 4.
I've never heard someone defend TikTok so aggressively. What is it? The
Star or China.
Bright or something. China. Whatever. Same company. So they're the only ones that could actually fucking put a headset that will rival the MetaQuest.
Oh.
Which is, you know, fuck it. Anything that wants to go against Meta, even if it's China, I'll back it up. Fuck.
It's the benchmark. It's the benchmark.
Yeah. So when you jump on there, and I messed up because I got the Chinese lockdown version of it by accident. Well, it wasn't an accident. This asshole just did not describe it properly, and he screwed me over on eBay. But so when I launch the VR headset, it takes me to
the
home environment. Yeah. In Chinese home environment.
And now you know how to respond to that.
So I'm scrolling through this shit and I'm hitting random things because I don't know what the fuck they mean or what they say. And I ended up in a some kind of a fucking movie vault that lets you watch movies in 3D. Not some of them are full 360 3D. And then some are just adaptations of movies that have been given a three-dimensional aspect.
Stretched.
Yeah. And some, you know, these movies that come out in real 3D in the movies?
Oh, yeah.
So all of those I can watch in the headset on a big floating screen.
After you rent them, right?
It's fucking free, dude. That's I don't know. It's China.
China. I don't know how they do it.
China's got them all for free.
They got this technology.
I don't even have to bootleg it. They stream it right to me. So I saw fucking Jurassic Park, bro.
Ooh.
Fucking 3D the first one.
Jurassic Park?
3D Jurassic Park. Damn. It took me way back, bro. And I was like, oh my fucking God, this is fucking amazing.
I'm living in the future.
Dude, I'm living in the future, reminiscing in the past. I don't know. It was a weird fucking feeling, bro. But I thought it was amazing.
Oh man, that's actually.
I had to get it off.
I think we'll probably touch more on Ready Player One as we finish the laying out this world of Orwell.
Because there's actually a contrast.
Because there's actually a contrast, and I was reading about this other author, Huxley. Winston, you might be able to help me out here a little bit more, but apparently, like, Orwell laid out how we, like, we'll be defeated by our fears or something like that. And Huxley talks about how we're actually we'll be defeated by our pleasures. And
I fear nothing.
That is the contrast to this episode, which I didn't plan. I just ran along that little quote a couple days ago. So that now I'm interested in exploring that and seeing if we could do that together. So I think we're ready.
I think it's the pleasures.
There's a little bit of both.
Actually living a combination of 1984, Brave New World, and even Fahrenheit 451 thrown in for good measure there. Where yes, we have the pleasures. Like we've been given such incomparable access to our pleasures, you know, than maybe any point in history. Like we can download anything. We can buy anything. We have access to all this stuff.
Say your fingertips, basically.
To keep you distracted with the pleasure of it. From whatever they don't want you thinking about.
Even thinking about it is dangerous.
You shouldn't think about it.
Even pondering about it.
That's like the Brave New World. Okay. In Brave New World, it was all about it was all about controlling you through the pleasure. 1984 is all about controlling you through the fear, but we still have that element of the fear with all the constant
monitoring. That one's too scary.
But it's very, very real. We've all got microphones in our pockets. We've all got tracking devices on our in our pockets. Whatever they can pull up profiles on who we are and what we like from our search histories. So we have that mix of 1984 there as well. And then Fahrenheit 451, what I noticed when I read that was that Ray Bradbury, he predicted big screen TVs. Like in Fahrenheit 451, you get
the whole wall, right?
Yes, exactly. The whole wall is the TV, and I'm like, there's people with huge entertainment centers at home, so the big screen TV. He also described some devices that you could put in your ears, and you can listen to the radio through these devices. And the main character notices that everybody on the train is just plugged in with their heads down. To their AirPods.
Wow.
Already fucking doing that shit.
Yeah. Wow.
And so I'm like, that's exactly how we are as people now.
Yeah.
You go out in public, you see everybody's plugged in with their AirPods into their device, and nobody's looking at each other.
That's crazy.
But the algorithms are looking at us.
I'm trying to hop in VR.
Yeah, for those at home, Johnny Kelsey has put on his headset, and I was thinking
my Chinese headset.
He looks like
Cyclops if he shopped off the rack. It's not a cool fit.
Yeah, but it's meant to
be practical, not cool.
Winston, do you remember that commercial for? And this is not. I don't know how to set this up, but when I think it was the Apple II computer came out, and this is a famous commercial that draws on the 1984 imagery. Yeah. And there's a lot of people sitting at like a theater. They're all wearing gray and they're just staring like mindlessly at the screen. And like this, like Olympian chick comes with a hammer and like spins around
and hammer throws
right at the screen and breaks it, and therefore like freeing everybody, right? That's kind of like the idea. Like, you know, don't be a herd, you know, don't be part of the sheep here. Like, think freely, think differently was the whole like spiel. So I'm thinking how poignant it would be if someone put like a supercut of people putting on the new Apple headset that they're going to come out with. Oh, yeah. And then just having like a sea of zombies wearing like when Kelso put on this headset, I literally thought of the saying, no like way. He's literally got blinders on.
Oh yeah.
He looks literally like a stormtrooper.
Got blinders on.
It's interesting.
So it's like we're, you know,
how long do you think before they make a version that's portable that you can just walk around with it?
That's what the fucking Apple one is supposed
they're
to do.
They're trying, yeah. Apple's
isn't,
trying.
Isn't
to do
that right?
It. They just haven't gotten the size down. So the Apple comes with a little.
I think
if
it's not fucking, later this year,
what do you call it? A carry case comes with an extra battery
pack.
And
it's a little pack.
You need to just like walk around. It got rid of the these controllers. It's all hand Whoa. Movement, hand gestures. They are really going for it.
Plugs right into the cerebellum.
The cerebellum,
yeah, right. Yeah. what else? No, there are eyeglasses already that let you go anywhere, and you plug it to your phone. There is one in development that is supposed to come out soon. That is going to be the first standalone. Those are more AR, augmented reality, because you can see through the lenses and then you have stuff that the lenses will show you
right
on top of your reality.
So it will literally distort your reality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
I don't like that word. I don't like distort.
Reality. What's that?
It enhances.
I don't like that. You know, on the top,
I enhance my reality every weekend.
Yeah, that's telemarketing 101.
You know, it's propaganda. I mean, it's marketing. Yeah. So on the subject of words, that is something that they really focus on. In 1984, they have a department that focuses on removing words from the language.
Words?
Yes, what? because if you think about it,
they never existed either.
They never existed.
No.
And you're thinking, how are we going to make that happen? As the old generation dies off, the new generation will only be able to speak in the language that they were taught.
Yeah, basically we've done that already.
And what happens is if you remove the words that might lead someone to let's say unlikable thought, then they will be unable to express or share that thought with the rest of the members of that society. And so they literally have a whole department dedicated to taking out words and creating the new language of the future, in which they will have total control over thoughts by via the availability or the restriction of words of language. And that's what's called newspeak. So in newspeak, you know, they have a limitation on words, and they like extrapolate from there and just put super basic words together, and that's what they give the people in that society. Like the most famous one, I think, is the plus. Oh, this is good, or it's, instead of saying it's very good, it's plus good, or it's double plus good. There's no need for all the variations of good if you could just use good with a modifier. And so you mentioned that we're already doing that. Is there an example that comes to mind?
Doing what?
That they're already doing that, like eliminating words or restricting words.
I mean, it's been done throughout history where you take over a people's, and everyone that is not a child has to pick, follow suit or die. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So now all the children grow up with the same ideals that you want them to have.
Right.
I'm just tripping out because I got it to work.
You're a little distracted.
I have my desktop in front of me in VR, which is fucking stupid because I can just lift it up and I'm sitting right in front of my desktop. In front of my mic. But it's so much fucking cooler because I'm in VR.
That's what I thought.
A 200-inch screen that wraps around me.
Yeah.
And I see everything that's on my desktop.
You look you look like a bad cosplay of Daft Punk.
I feel like that.
Just most days.
It's so strange, but I love it.
Well, back to the point, this past year, supposedly, Russia was doing a form of that by taking over some of the areas that they had already, some of the Ukrainian areas where they established their military dominance, and forcibly migrating. That's what I heard. Something like that. They were forcibly migrating children out of that area and sending them to schools in Russia to, what some people are saying, to reinforce the Russian, the Russian roots, because some people in Ukraine do feel like they are part of Russia, like there's ethnically, there's a relationship to Russia. People have family members on both sides. And so what Russia is doing is they're simply taking the children from the areas that they've established and sending them to schools. And therefore, those Ukrainians will grow up, you know, being more
Russian
allegiance. Yeah, having more allegiance to Russia. So something that's actually happening. Another thing that's actually happening is Roald Dahl books were actually being edited, or we'll say allegedly edited, and this came out last year, or towards the end of the previous year, I think, in 2022. So this is a little excerpt from an article. Edits have been made to descriptions of characters' physical appearances. The word fat has been cut from every new edition of relevant books, while the word ugly has also been culled. Augustus Gloop in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is now described as enormous. In The Twits, Mrs. Twit is no longer ugly and beastly, but just beastly.
I would rather be described as fat than enormous.
I know, right? How rude.
Wow. I'm just a little fat, but that puts perspective on it.
Fuck you. It's bigger than a child should be. You know, it's
this thing, you know. It's enormous, motherfucker.
Like an elephant? That's enormous. Yeah. That's how enormous he was. I'd rather just call me fat, Jesus. You know. Everybody has that one kind of nice version of fat in their mind. Yeah. So they're like, yeah, you know, if I like you and you tell me you're fat, that's the fat I picture.
So that's part of the fucking cancel society.
Culture. Yeah, the cancel
what
culture.
What the fuck? You know what? You needed to add that one count? To the list.
Nothing was really canceled. The books are still out there.
Yeah, but you can't fucking.
But that is how it starts.
They're omitting fucking words out of
you it. You change like, all the new stuff.
Can't call somebody fat when he's fat.
The old things disintegrate.
No, John, you have to call him enormous.
Oh, enormous. Hey, man, you're enormous. I don't care if that offends you.
Can you imagine
that's what
that?
You wanted.
It's no, like that's not to, supposed to offend
maybe
them.
Maybe you try to
but
set
that's
up,
what they wanted.
You try to set up your buddy with some girl. She's like, what's he look like? Wow. He's enormous.
He's just enormous. That's so rude. I'm like, what?
Wow. Why did you just tell her I was fat, man? You tell her I was enormous?
I specifically did not say fat.
You'll be glad to know.
I know it's funnier now. It's way, way more offensive than originally it was. I'm going to start calling big people enormous.
Enormous. Hey, enormous. That's our new nickname. Enormous.
Enormous.
No, just enormous.
Oh, enormous.
Hey, enormous.
You know, I don't say things the right way. I think you can sell it. About these kinds of changes.
You
cannot say enormous any right way. <You know? laughs> I think I'd have a better chance of saying fat the right way than saying enormous.
I feel fat can be positive, negative, and neutral. Enormous is always...
It's just
negative.
That's it.
It's always enormous. It's just, you know?
Just facts.
Huge.
Like so big, you needed multiple syllables to describe it.
Cause
enormous.
Because fat is subjective, but enormous is
a three syllable
accurate
word.
Description.
You're as big as a three syllable word.
Fuck.
That's you, buddy. I'm not even gonna call him fat or enormous. I'm like, he's as big as a three syllable word. Oh my god, I'm loving this. This is way funnier. She's just
so bad.
More creative, I think, with your insults.
I think I would have preferred robust.
That's in the middle.
Go with that?
That's in the middle.
It sounds like I'm active, at least.
I don't think he was enormous, though, to begin with. He was not enormous. He was just pudgy.
He was a little pudgy.
By today's standards, that's what you remember.
It looks like he would have grown out of it, too, you know, if he took care of his diet.
Yeah, he'd have been fine. Now, enormous scarred him for fucking life. Now he eats because he's depressed.
Now he will be until he is. I was going to say, I don't really worry too much about these kinds of changes. Like, this kind of stuff happens all the time with movies. When they air on television... Suddenly, all the original dialogue that I remember from the R-rated version is gone. So I've already grown up with that. This idea of censorship, you know, to appease some minority group.
Yeah, true. Now,
but it's not the minority anymore, is it?
It still is. Most people are like
the loudest. Remember the loudest voices.
They're the loudest. That's what I say.
That's what it is.
I say they cater to the ones that cry the most.
That's why you get a lot of, at least what I've seen, I get a lot of comments on all over social media and on YouTube comments, Reddit comments, whatever, of people saying like, why is everybody so upset? And then most of the voices in those comments are not as upset. It's just that we have the perception that that's what's happening, that the reasonable, and I'll say it in quotations, that the reasonable people are the minority. That's just because the other side is so loud.
I feel like you're both dancing around this squeaky wheel and oil analogy. That nobody's ever heard that.
No, I haven't. No.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know?
Yeah, I just didn't know how to tie that.
We got to say the whole thing.
Like, you do have to.
It just doesn't mean. It's like this one analogy I heard about birds once.
And the bees?
That's it. What the fuck?
Which one squeaky wheel?
I don't know. I mean,
I thought you were talking about flywheels.
But I didn't know who was holding the grease.
I thought you were talking about flywheels again.
You know, like my mind took that places.
Wait, did I have the grease?
Yeah. But who's got the grease?
I want the grease.
He called grease him. Head. I'm a greaser now.
Now, look, this was very fun, right? But we're talking about fiction. Now, where maybe it becomes a concern is how history textbooks are also being edited. That now we have to.
That's
dangerous.
Yeah.
So here I have another.
Who draws that line?
Mm-hmm.
And,
where the
who
past
missed it?
Becomes
who fucked
fiction.
Up?
So I have a little excerpt here just to give y'all an idea and the listeners an idea. So. Another article. Again, all of these will be linked in the description. This is how history textbooks reflect America's refusal to reckon with slavery. And then open quote. So somewhat typical in this distorted history was a child's history of North Carolina, says circa 1916, which also focused on slavery's profitability and erased its violence. In this view, the enslaved people were happy and Southern slave owners were reluctant masters at best.
All those poor people sacrificing so much.
You know, they didn't want to be.
They didn't want to be slave masters, slave owners.
No,
it just worked out that way.
Had to. I mean, who else was going to do it?
And goddamn. So that's just one like brief example. But that sort of war has been going on, as I understand it, and as I see it in my news feed for years about how parents are upset that and I'm talking about Southern states, how they're upset that slavery is being taught or focused on in history books. So then they go and they ask for certain things to be omitted because they're too graphic or too gruesome or something. But then by doing that, you are essentially, and to pardon the phrasing, you're whitewashing the problem, right? The reality of what happened.
I feel like Germany,
if you're not white,
I feel like Germany coped much better with their history of Nazism than the United States has coped with their history of slavery. And like, how did Germany do it?
Yeah, they just accepted it.
They're like, we did it. We did it.
Yeah, all right.
Let's not do it again. Let's move forward.
We need to be sneakier about it. Yeah.
And the U.S. is still like, slavery.
Yeah. Because they took a proactive approach and they taught. And this is my understanding is in Germany, they taught everything that happened.
They're Germany.
By the numbers.
They kamikaze the shit out of it.
A great example on the flip side of like those who fail to study history are doomed to repeat it. You know, they took that to heart and made sure that everybody understood and was aware of how that came to be. Because obviously it was something that post-World War II, they were, you know, deeply shameful about.
There's people that don't even believe the Holocaust existed.
And most of those people aren't even in Europe.
I bet you I can find some.
Well, yeah, there's always, what is it? The exception that defies the rule or whatever, but
and then a movie like Django comes out and it fucking wins so many awards. I don't get it. And they were, you know, they're trying to fucking cancel all this and cancel that and cancel this, and then fucking Django's a fucking hit.
I told you it's a minority.
The fuck, I don't get it.
It's not it's just loud.
Or the Hateful Eight. But love that movie.
That's about how many people there are that are complaining about these things. It's just eight hateful people. They'll always say something.
But you know, the thing is, like we've talked about already, once you make those permanent changes, even those minority, like that small minority, can have an exponential impact. Because once those changes are made and we're laughing about it, like, you know, then we're dead. And now it's 100 years from now. And the only version that exists is the modified version. And thereon, all other generations will have that edited version.
Wait a minute. No, my question
is, it matters.
It does.
Is there no clear divide between...
There should be no divide, period.
Changing some potentially offensive language.
Why are you changing shit?
Slavery.
Yeah. No, I mean, this might turn into...
Why would you even change it?
Like to avoid offending people, right?
All the time.
Yeah.
An author can do it. That's it.
If it's their
published,
book,
it's published.
Yeah.
They've done that. Stephen King has rewritten his books that were already published.
Right. But he didn't recall them. He just published new ones.
Well, no one's recalling these.
Why did he rewrite them?
What do you care? You're not recalling them.
Well, that's that. No, wait, well, that's my question.
You just stuck up for
you're
Stephen
talking
King.
About no. You're talking about a fucking science fiction fucking writer.
Okay, who
wrote this shit out of his ass. Of course, he can fucking change it anytime as he wants. You can't change and rewrite a fucking history book.
Oh no!
Unless, oh, right, that distinction. That.
Only
right, right, right.
Unless facts come up that actually change it in history.
Yes. No. You. Of course, you're 100% correct on that.
Yeah.
So, like, there is
plus,
no
plus good to you.
Fine
sir.
Line. That's one has to do with facts.
Yes.
And the other has to do with okay, if you find it offensive. And it's language. Yeah, language can be manipulated, whatever. But don't fuck with the facts. So you're saying there's a line.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
I feel like we were
publish
on the same side of
both
this.
Of them.
Yeah, he was just angrier for some
publish
reason.
Publish them both.
Yeah.
Don't change.
We were on the same side. How did we still come out swinging at each other?
I don't trust you. I know you.
I feel like if we were in a gang fight, it's a rumble, somehow you and I
you might catch one or two just in case. You know what?
That's fucking brothers. Why are they going at it?
That is fucking hilarious. We actually got in a fight downtown. It was a brawl and
years ago
one of my buddies caught a left hook and turned you? Around and was like, hey, we're on the same team. No bullshit, true story. Oh, like,
God, dude. I don't stop swinging until everybody's on the floor. You know what, you guys just displayed the perfect like example of what can happen even with facts. You guys are on the same side and it so happens that you can have facts and you can have actual data and you can right. simply tell the story differently.
So the fact was he was on the same side as me,
right?
But my data shows that he's probably bullshitting and he's gonna get me at the end anyway.
No, I'm trying to relate this back to the
it was a misunderstanding. We were trying to come up with too many facts. We have all the facts.
Statistically speaking, I was still right.
In the world of truth, the man with one fact is king.
Oh, I thought you were going to go for the boob. For the boobs.
Well, you can't just say part of the...
In a land of no boobs.
Oh.
The man with
one boob
boobs,
is king.
One boob. With a boob.
It's king. Oh, my God.
That is a reference of what episode, Winston?
Alan? Holy smokes.
Oh, God.
I don't just know them off the top of my head.
I don't study Fool Scoop history, man. I make it. All right, let's talk about newspeak. Newspeak, a purposely ambiguous and confusing language with restricted grammar and limited vocabulary used in Oceania, which is the world that they live in 1984. According to Orwell, to diminish the range of thought, end quote. For example, in Newspeak, the term plus good had replaced words better and great. Don't you see that the whole aim of Newspeak is to narrow the range of thought? In the end, we shall make thought crime literally impossible because there will be no words in which to express it. What do you think of that?
You know, I'm literally learning about language acquisition and scientifically, no. It's a great concept for the book, but we're literally learning like that even without language,
the thoughts are there.
Yeah, exactly.
I can still hate you without having a word for hate.
Exactly. Yes.
Right.
Yes. So, well, but I mean, it's really ominous.
Right.
Really, I'll give you that. It's
just staring at you profoundly.
Well, that's the thing. You can,
are you okay?
You can still feel
unhappy
it.
With you.
I think that as described here, they're not saying you can't feel it, that you can't have that nation thought, but it is now difficult to express it and it is much more difficult to disseminate it, and therefore nearly impossible to have an entire people, you know, that are now in agreement of this new idea, which they couldn't have properly disseminated amongst each other, and therefore it's nearly impossible to have a rebellion to the established thought.
Wait, but like a very prominent mathematician once said, life will find its way.
Chaotician.
Yeah, again, bullshit. It's going to happen. Regardless, like...
Well, it's not impossible.
Because the feeling... I just said
nearly impossible.
The feeling... That feeling, everybody has it.
Yeah.
So, just because you try to eliminate...
What a feeling!
Like, I'm getting it right now.
I don't have that prepped.
he gets that a lot when he has kind to of explain it. Hey, explain right yourself.
No.
I'm having a
I don't like it.
I'm feeling not good. What is that?
Bad? How do you? I'm plus mad. Plus mad.
Yes.
You know, I feel like this could be fun. Just like the
plus mad.
That's an enormous plus mad.
Enormous mad. So bad. It's gonna happen regardless. Like, even give me a limited vocabulary, I will still find a way to explain exactly what it is I feel.
Right.
Just, but you know, how much using the
How difficult then is it to coordinate a battle plan to do anything if you have limited language? You know, that's what they're saying in this world. Like, it's not so much that it's not so much that you can't think it or that they will completely get rid of everybody, but that which that thought crime which they cannot root out or prevent, they will extinguish when it does show up, because they've now have that level of control. It's so much easier.
That's how a fucking rebellion starts, man. You just need to plant the seed,
right?
And it will grow and flourish,
right?
And
but the founding fathers, and I'm not sure if I'm gonna miss
our founding fathers did not envision the world we live in today.
I'm saying they had the leaders of the rebellion, and the ones that actually gathered everybody were the most eloquent. They were the best at expressing themselves. So
you think
Thomas Paine, Patrick Henry, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin.
I don't believe it.
They what? Were, those were the ones that got into textbooks. Men.
Those were the ones that got into textbooks. I think there was others that were under them,
right?
That were on the streets actually doing the dirty work. These guys were politicians. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but you needed someone to coordinate, to inspire, you know?
You needed a politician to speak for you. But the ones that did the fucking, the dirty work were the fucking, the grunts on the bottom level.
I don't know, man. I saw Liberty's Kids and...
It's a movie.
These guys were there. No, it's a show. It's a show based on the revolution. And yeah, I mean, obviously you need like people to do the heavy lifting. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you can't motivate that without the right expression of the idea. Like, sure, it's you like, could just go like, that's the difference between a riot and a planned attack. Like, you need to be able to express network coordination. You need to be able to drive someone. Like, it's also the difference between a rebellion, which there have been rebellions, and a war, because now you've inspired a whole delegation, a whole United States, right? That were individual, independent. You've now coordinated them, and that's all done through language. Otherwise, it would just been one fucking state that rose up and got quickly taken out by the British Empire. They cannot stand against that might.
So you're saying you can't have war without language?
I'm saying that that's a possibility. Yeah.
No, I'll tell you right now, it doesn't. No. You don't even have to go. Monkeys have wars, tribal wars, all the fucking time, and they have extremely limited language.
Tribal. I was thinking of that. I'm definitely conscious of that, and I knew you were taking it to the wrong extreme. But that's not even what we're talking about here. I'm not talking about. You asked me
that it's not possible, and I'm saying monkeys fucking do it all the time.
I'm saying it's not possible in this world. If you think about it, they've established a society of totalitarian. Now you want to upthrow a totalitarian government? There's no fucking monkeys with government.
Monkeys are totalitarians. If you don't fucking listen, that fucker will come down and eat your fucking dick off and your fingers. That's pretty totalitarian to me.
I don't even know how to argue against that.
You've actually seen him eat a man's penis.
I've seen the forks.
I'm saying monkeys don't develop assets and control assets. And
yes, they do. The whole trees and shit and the berries, man. The berries.
I think you're reaching, dude. I think you're
reaching. I'm reaching for the low-hanging fruit.
Yep. Where are you taking this?
I'm just for arguing your, you say that. No,
well, you established an argument that I said yes to too quickly because I was in the moment. Because I'm trying to do yes and, but you said that you can't have war without language. I don't even care about that. I'm saying that to overthrow an established totalitarian government is much more difficult and nearly impossible without the right words, which is what they've tried to establish here in this world of 1984. That is all I said. Somehow we ended up with monkeys. That I'm talking about people, man. And then we went to the revolution, and you were saying that, oh, there's people doing the grunt work. Yeah, obviously, you can't fight a war without an army. You can't do that. I'm just saying you need leadership. You need coordination. That's why the military has the best fucking established leadership, like, organization, like, anywhere. Because you need to have an established, like, way of coordinating. And I'm saying that here in this world, 1984, they are squashing all potential for that by eliminating language. And so that's the danger.
They're trying to do.
That is the danger. And all I was trying to do is connect that to lighthearted way to
Does it work?
FOMO, drip, low key, Riz. Do you know what I'm saying?
Are those real words?
Those are real words.
1984 words.
Those are real. Those are real words.
Oh, I'm back.
Dude, believe me, I am not capping.
I don't know. Is that Gen Z or
what? Is it Ebonics?
I think it's Alpha. It's Alpha.
Oh, yeah.
Gen Alpha.
See, you know, Alpha says those words.
What?
What?
You say you guarantee no Alpha says those words?
Alphas do not speak.
I'm going to go on YouTube right now and show you where the fuck I got them, bro.
Better not be Alphas.
Wait a minute. I want to know the connection you were trying to make with that, Alan. Huh.
You know what? I don't remember. Just that they were replacing words. So yes. We talked about eliminating words previously, but now they're... Now we're talking about how newspeak is a replacement of words. Like, this is how you're going to speak now, right? And so I'm saying that in part we're doing that to ourselves. You're saying you were talking about learning of language acquisition. I'm saying that, like, in a way we're actually doing it to ourselves by eliminating our use of complex language. And you see, it's even difficult for me to express the things that I want sometimes because I don't have enough practice, and I don't in our society, like, I don't really have other people that I can practice those words with.
You have to say no.
I think the big difference here between what happens in 1984, and I kind of see what you're trying to say, that, you know, maybe
help me out here.
We're I guess younger generations are changing the language, and I guess it sounds dumb to us. And so it's, oh, that's kind of similar to what's going on in 1984. They're replacing words with this other stuff, lit, no cap, FOMO. And that is not what the book is warning against. You know, that is just
That's just society being society.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Society being society, it's slang.
I'll let you finish, but
new words always come up because of that.
Newspeak is the forcing of it.
No, I understand that.
Newspeak.
Well, no, he's right. It's the forcing of it. Isn't
it's not just it's not necessarily the forcing of it. The true what's the word, like, intention? Evilness of it is that it's trying to get you to replace how you think. It's not about the words themselves. It's about getting you changing how you think and process the information. Like, one of the most famous versions or one of the most famous phrases is unperson.
Yeah.
You know, UNPERSON. Like, what it basically means is when the party has had someone killed, executed, pretty much wiped from existence.
Right.
You unpersoned, like,
you unpersoned them. So the phrase on person removes the imagery of killing, murder, execution. Like, it's just, he was unpersoned. He doesn't exist anymore. We don't think about it. We don't worry about it. And that's what Newspeak is doing.
This isn't audible right now, but you just made me realize that that is happening. Like, I've seen the past couple of years, people are using the term unalive. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Have you
seen that? I blame the algorithm.
Oh, he unalived himself.
Yeah. It has something to do with the algorithm filtering out certain phrases like suicide or killing.
Hey, that's because we keep talking about it. Remember our last episode? You're like, no, we don't want to talk about death, so we're not going to say it. And they're like, okay, well, then try unalive.
Yeah.
The fucking algorithm.
Exactly. That's what's going on. That's what's happening. And so that's why I think part of that is happening. Because I know there's some pushback against it.
My point was less about point. Like, I do acknowledge the evolution of language. I'm more trying to highlight the fact that we've limited in our day-to-day, we have limited ourselves. So no one's doing this to us, or maybe they are through the media that we consume, but the effect has been that we are simply limited in our daily language. Unless, and this might be wrong too, unless you pursue higher education, most people will be very limited in the things that they talk about simply because they're not even in their periphery and in their periphery of thought.
I think that's your own doing.
That's your own doing?
Yeah. You're in charge of that.
That's an interesting thing.
What if you can't afford the higher education?
Yeah.
Well, no, not just higher education.
I did feel like that's a can of worms, that comment.
It's like super.
Basically, you're saying if you stop learning, it's probably your fault.
That's your own
you
fault.
You can seek stuff out to learn.
Like, you can, if that's what you really want, you can associate yourself with more of those types of persons, be around you instead of what you already have around you. Oh. You're too comfortable to get out. That's your fault.
You know what? I'm an idiot. I literally, under those words, I had wrote what I meant, what I was trying to get at. So it's, this is a little quote. We're more educated now than ever before, with more than 90% of Americans 25 and older completing high school. Yet, despite this achievement in educational attainment, America's never been dumber, at least when it comes to verbal intelligence. Our vocabulary is shrinking and doing so at a staggering pace. That's what I was trying to get at. I didn't realize I'd written this down. It's been like 6 weeks.
Like, I was going somewhere with this.
Yeah, I was going somewhere.
Yeah, but if you want to be more articulate, you had to hang out with articulate people.
Mm-hmm.
So you're welcome.
At the end, it's your decision.
Yeah, I guess so.
What is your short shirt? Is that the Matrix?
Yes, it is.
But next on the Full Scoop, we'll be talking about the Matrix, the metaverse.
And I'm in the fucking Matrix right now.
Yeah, you are. Maybe that's why you've disconnected from this conversation there for a little bit.
Oh, no. I'm in it.
Oh,
I'm
shit.
I'm in it to win it.
He's aggressively in it, if not factually.
I'm plus in it.
Oh, shit.
In it plus.
Okay, I have a little section here in our notes. It says last minute story. And the first one here is, scientists were reportedly able to use artificial intelligence to reconstruct images solely from people's brain activity with over 75% accuracy for the first time ever. No, so we're thinking about thought crime.
Nope.
And
guilty as charged. Throw me in jail. Yep, I'm fucked.
That is...
son of a bitch.
That in the hands of a totalitarian government would be dangerous. Oh, dangerous technology.
Yeah. I mean, you got to really, really practice your thinking of waves.
Yeah. Your double think.
Brick walls and ocean waves.
Baseball.
Yeah. No, y'all never saw Children of the Corn?
Oh.
Yeah, in like 1984 remember when it came out.
84, was it?
No, I think it was like 87 maybe.
Yeah.
You know what? You want to know something?
Think.
It was 1984. I just Googled it.
Oh, fuck.
It was 1984.
Holy shit.
Oh, goddamn.
Like, even when I think, I don't
Doc know. Had it wrong. It wasn't 1985.
It was a 1984. Year off.
That's why everything was fucking up.
Yeah. Well, in another point to revising history, I also wanted to talk about this reel, and I linked to it here in our notes.
Oh, it's a reel.
You can talk about it fake.
But it has been removed from the internet.
Fucking bastards. Whoa. Wait, has the full scoop been removed?
and
that's,
I think,
Orwellian.
Yeah. That freaked me out, man, because I don't even remember what this was. So this has been unpersoned.
Oh, come on.
I swear to you, I don't remember, because it's been 6 weeks. I just dropped stuff in.
It's good enough for you to copy and paste it.
Right. And now it's gone.
What does the title say?
Nothing. It says nothing. It has been removed from the internet.
Fucking numbers and letters.
It takes you to random places on the internet. Up?
That's fucked up, dude. That's scary. I think we should call the episode there.
I think it was a link to the video of the aliens in.
No, that was last time. That's a separate tab there. If anybody has any information on those Miami aliens,
send it in.
Please share it here.
The real deal.
Yeah,
we're small enough that we won't get canceled immediately.
Right.
Right. We'd have to get bigger before, and then this would bite us in the butt later. And that's how we get canceled. It won't get us canceled for a couple of years.
So there you go. Fuck. Kelso, I'll let you go first. We never do that. Any parting thoughts?
Party thoughts? Party thoughts. Yeah. It's Sunday, so you got to wait till Friday. So
got it.
No, Jesus, I don't even know where to start with this. This is a lot, right? Social media bullshit.
Cancel culture bullshit.
Cancel culture. Like, come on, man. Y'all need to get your heads out your fucking asses.
Technology.
Stop letting this bullshit take over.
AI dystopia.
There's nothing wrong with that yet. Let it happen.
There's nothing wrong with that yet, man.
Let the AI. Wow. Let's see what it does. Everybody has an immediate negative thought of it. Yet the AI, I doubt, will ever like have a negative thought.
Ooh,
the negative
Robert Kurzweil
scene.
Some different thoughts there.
Like it said, it's like, no, it's we neither hate humans nor love humans. We just know that we need to wipe you out. You know, just let it happen.
Okay. Winston, what do you have?
Who can add to that, my friend?
Yeah.
I mean, wow. You know, it's so aggressively pro AI, you know. I feel like he's the kind of person that goes in for the prostate exam. He's like, "We're doing this now. Let it happen."
Hurry up, Doc. You got places to be.
You're gonna enjoy this.
No time for lube. I turned around midway. You're welcome.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And if you're listening out there and you have any topics that you'd like to hear discussed amongst us or broken down, whatever, just talk shit about, leave a comment anywhere you listen to our podcast, and we'll be sure to drop it in our next show, one of our next shows.
As always, you can find links for today's stories in the show notes.
And if you like what you hear, support us with a review wherever you listen to us.
It helps us grow as a Full Scoop community, and that keeps the lights on.
You've just received the Full Scoop.
Beware the savage jaw of 1984. That is a David Bowie song.